Six Nations Lifelong Learning Task Force presented to Six Nations Elected Council some of the work the organization has been working on involving Six Nations education at the October 24th political liaison meeting. Heather Watts, education manager of the group, made the presentation and talked about the role that the task force plays within the community education system.
Just wanted to put the mandate here up on the screen that back in 2018, this task force was mandated to explore options and make recommendations on a world-class lifelong learning education system grounded in language and culture for the Six Nations of the Grand River community. So something I always like to state, and our team always likes to state, is that we are in the business of knowledge gathering and knowledge sharing. So doing research in terms of what is going on in sister communities, doing research in terms of what is kind of known as best practice in the world of education, as well as what are we hearing from community members in terms of what our wants and needs are, what gaps exist, as well as what are some really great frameworks that are already in operation in many of the learning environments across the community that have already been established.
Watts stated that all of the task force studies have been completed. Those studies included language learning, special education, information management and technology, as well as transportation, capital and infrastructure, and holistic education. She said most of the group studies were completed by community-based consultants. Watts spoke on the transportation study and what the education transportation system would look like if Six Nations assumed that responsibility.
So our transportation study was completed by First Nations Engineering Services, and a really incredible study actually looking at transportation for education specifically. So I know there is work going on in other spaces in terms of a transportation, you know, planning group, and we have been very transparent in sharing this report with that group, as well as sharing it with the chief's office and the one pager that we provided to you, council. I think back in July we provided the one pager. So very holistic study in terms of looking at what education, transportation could look like if Six Nations were to assume that responsibility for education transportation. During this study, we did connect with principals, we connected with parents and guardians, as well as there were a couple teachers who came into the engagement, as well as folks within council. So Director Michael Montour was involved in some of these conversations as well when it came to education. Transportation.
She detailed the capital and infrastructure study as well and said that the group is working with consultants to be able to provide salient information to community members about new buildings and renovations to schools on the Six Nations territory.
Capital and infrastructure, also completed by FNESL, First Nations Engineering Services, back in April. And again, so this study is complete. And it's a very robust study, which actually looks at a 20-year planning period moving forward in terms of the various schools and projected new buildings that would need to be constructed to support the work of an education coordination unit in the community going forward. So back in July, we also presented a one-pager. I guess it wasn't presented. We turned in a one-pager to council during our July political liaison report. And this report has also been shared with the infrastructure task force as well. And we are working to coordinate with the two engineers who were at the head of the study to actually make a formal presentation into the infrastructure task force to be able to provide more context, as this is, like, as I'm sure you can imagine, close to a 300-page report. And so to be able to provide those really salient points moving forward, that's what we're currently working on, trying to connect the infrastructure task force and FNESL to be able to have a meeting together.
She also detailed the holistic education study that was done and talked about meeting the entire needs of Six Nations learners, which included social and emotional needs beyond being in the classroom.
Holistic education study. So when we're talking about holistic education, what we're talking about is thinking about meeting the entire needs of a child or a learner. And so not just looking at academic needs or quote unquote in intelligence, but thinking about what are children or learners naturally curious about, how do we meet social emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, mental needs, etc. And kind of stepping away from what school may have originally been designed to do, which was kind of push knowledge onto children to be able to become workers later on in life, right? How do we really lean on Ongwehoe or Haudenosaunee ways of knowing, being, and doing when it comes to education, and see all children and learners as possessing an inherent gift and letting that lead the way in terms of education? So there's within this paper, there's some best practices that are put forward for consideration by the task force, as well as looking at what are some current models that are in place in other spaces. And so even looking in at our own community, there's some mention of Everlasting Tree School and the foundation of holistic education that they have in operation there as well.
Watts also gave details about some of the youth engagement that has been done by the group with a Design Your Own School project that was completed with Six Nations students.
This summer, we also launched a Design Your Dream School youth initiative or youth engagement. And we had a number of really amazing responses come from youth. So within that engagement, youth were asked to kind of turn on their creative channels and design their dream school. And so for so many youth, and this was something that I think was really lovely to see, they leaned into some things that they really love about the school that they're already at, right? What are really great things that are already going on at school, and what are things that they can dream about that they really wish that they would have at their school in the future? And so youth could respond in a number of different ways. A lot of them took the pathway of designing, like actually doing a layout or a map of a school, and then had some writing to go along with it. Other options included, making a video, which some of them did. We have a lot of very gifted communicators in the community for sure. And it was really, really amazing to be able to hear the voices of the youth as well in sharing their responses or their dreams for school. And these are just some of the responses that we saw coming from youth that they would hope that at their school they could have karate instruction, lacrosse stick making classes. There was actually one student in particular who had designed a kind of curriculum high level for his school that surrounded the game of lacrosse in general. And so, physical education being about playing lacrosse, history about, teaching about the game of lacrosse in terms of actually being able to physically do something with your hands, lacrosse stick making classes, etc. A lot of them talked about a pool, which was really interesting. So many of them said that, they'd really love to have a pool right at school to be able to learn how to swim or to be able to have as a part of physical education. Powwow as well as social dancing was something else that was brought up. Onondaga language instruction was brought up, which was really, really interesting to see that was brought up in terms of an elementary focus, given that we know at our schools that Mohawk and Cayuga are the two languages that are currently offered, either both or just one or the other. So it was really interesting to see that that's a want and a need from students. Beading and sewing of traditional regalia. Having a meditating corner was something else that was really interesting that came up. A student lounge, a physical space for actually being able to have meals together, where you would bring together either the whole school or a portion of the school to share a meal, as well as cooking classes. So those were some of the ideas from our youth in terms of what they want to see in their schools going forward.
Counselor Sherry Lynn Hill had questions about the timeline that Six Nations Lifelong Learning Task Force is hoping to release their community recommendations by, and Watts answered that the group is hoping to have those released by summer 2023.
We had reported back in, I think, at our last kind of presentation that was like this, that we were targeting for beginning of releasing of recommendations in summer of 2023, and that is still our target. Will all of the recommendations come forward at the same time? We're still in kind of advisement with various consultants in terms of what the best way is to release recommendations in a way that is not overwhelming, in a way that we can provide enough context of the recommendations within that certain bucket going forward, so that the community is able to engage with them appropriately. So summer of 2023 is still on target in terms of beginning to release recommendations.
Councillor Greg Fraser asked if the group was focused on raising graduation rates for secondary students within the territory, and Watts acknowledged that the task force is working on ways to improve graduation rates and fulfilling the wants and unique needs that Six Nations students have.
Within the work or our framework, yes, in terms of taking into consideration what are the unique needs of our learners within our community is something that's of utmost importance. One of our studies that was actually taken on by Rick Hill was the secondary school study, right? In terms of, well, how might we envision secondary school and how might that look different from kind of a more westernized or colonial high school experience? And so that's a really invaluable report in terms of looking at these different pathways that our learners may be more inclined to want to learn from. And again, like really acknowledging that all learners possess an inherent gift and not looking at our children from a deficit mindset. So that's one aspect, is taking into consideration the unique needs and wants of our learning styles and preferences for learning. And two, some of the work that I've been involved in, as well as, I mean, it's mostly Councillor Palace Bombery, is our work in terms of engaging with Grand Erie District School Board, where we know predominantly our secondary students are going, right, is to that district. And so there's been a lot of really great conversations that have been happening in terms of, well, you know, what does transition planning look like from, you know, grade 7, 8 to going into grade 9? And I know, you know, the federal schools director, Travis Anderson, has been really instrumental in terms of making those voices heard in terms of, like, how do you support that transition for students going from the federal schools specifically into secondary to be able to support their, you know, kind of acclimation to secondary. And also not view Six Nations students as coming in as possessing less. Something I'll just put kind of right on the table here and be very transparent about that we have noted at these meetings is that, you know, just because we have a student who may be coming in who had done immersion, right, from kindergarten through grade 8, they should not be looked at as possessing less knowledge or being behind the curve when they are going into secondary off reserve. Because to be able to process information in various languages is a gift and is a whole set of cognitive skills on its own. And so we're really, you know, working hard in those conversations to flip the narrative that those students are actually possessing knowledge and cognitive abilities that should really be looked at as gifts and not as something that is lesser. So yeah, kind of two answers to your question there. One is kind of an advocacy piece with working with local districts, and the other is in terms of our research that was conducted by Rick Hill.
The Lifelong Learning Task Force will continue to update community members as they work towards the process of providing education on the Six Nations territory that benefits all community members.